Greetings, true believers, and welcome everyone to the 63rd installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. I am Sneaky Beat 15, also known as Ian, founder of the Puzzle Warriors Alliance. And with me this week are special guests Angry Salad and LF Chikarison, better known as Brian and Leonard, commanders of the Long Box Heroes Alliance. Welcome, friends.
Interesting line read, Ian.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, absolutely. Now, does this mean that I'm on the same number of episodes as Brian, or...
No, you're here more than me.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah. You have still outguessed
him. If I can't
him.
Beat you in shield ranking, I can beat you on appearances on the show.
And the only reason I'm here is to try to get Ian to curse on the podcast. I know that's not going to happen, but...
Oh, my goodness, I hope that doesn't happen. That's my nightmare. That's an editing nightmare.
Did you ever hear the story of one time Neil Patrick Harris was on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and he was doing a magic trick, right? And the prop for the magic trick did not work. So he's like, I don't want this to air and me to look ridiculous. I know how they'll not be able to air it. I'm just going to swear a bunch of times during the whole failing of the trick, and then they can't use it. So... With wrestling, whenever I would be helping guys with promos, I would always say, whenever you're off track, just start swearing so they don't use a bad take.
Well, hopefully, this will all be nothing but gold, so we can just avoid all the right. cursing altogether. But that does open up a question I had for you that's totally unrelated to the show, but this seems to be the best place to go off topic before we even get
tangent,
started on
topics. Tangent.
When... I am retelling about an encounter with a professional wrestler. Do I just stick with their character name, or do I enforce that it's a character? Like if I said, hey, I went to one of your wrestling shows down in Philadelphia, and I got to – do I say I got to talk with Icarus, or do I say I got to talk with the guy who
the
plays Icarus?
Name. The shoot name, right, Leonard?
Did he – Joe, it's Joe now. Leonard, he shuffled died. Off the mortal coil. But I will say, if Icarus introduces himself to you as his shoot name, then I think it's okay to say it. If there was no exchanging of names, you know, just Icarus. Like, a lot of times, like, when I'm talking about the wrestlers that I know, I'll say, you know, I'll say the guy as their name as they're most notably known as. As not to, you know, ruin anything. That's... Like, I'll tell people I went out this, like, this past weekend, I went to dinner with Hollow Wicked and Shane Storm. Now, obviously, that's not what we called each other when we were all out to eat.
Right, but we can just assume that that people understand that you don't need to reinforce the fact that those are characters that they enact. Okay, I was curious about that. Are you... amongst the oldest members of your league? And I mean as far as length in the league, not age-wise, because I remember seeing a show in State College some 10 to 12 years ago, and then again here in Philadelphia, and, you know, with the exceptions of Ultra Mantis Black, Hollow Wicked, and Quackenbush, everybody else...
Right, and probably the aforementioned Icarus as well, but yeah, they were there longer. You know, Michael tells the story that when he opened up the doors to the Wrestle Factory, the first two people to walk in those doors were Icarus and Hollow Wicked. And then shortly after that was Ultra Mantis and his crew. And then shortly after that was your Bryce Remsburgs, who's a referee there. He's been there a very long time. Eddie Kingston. I actually came in like 3 years after all those guys were already kind of established in Chikara.
Oh, okay.
But I had been doing my own thing here locally in the Wilkes-Barre area in, like, 99, 2000, 2001. Then that kind of fell apart. The Chikara thing fell in my lap. And, you know, it was the better part of my life for the last 12 years or so.
Sure. Okay. Brian, I assume you have an equally interesting story to tell about your life?
I was waiting for you to ask me some wrestling annotations. I was like, nope, nothing interesting. Sorry.
Trick-or-treating was
a
success?
No, my daughter got sick and had to stay home. So,
that's sad. Does that mean you were the stay-home parent, or you were
the
trick-or-treat parent?
I was the trick-or-treat parent. I got to walk 20 feet behind my 10-year-old because he didn't want to be seen with me. And I got to walk with the other parents who were walking 20 feet behind their 10-year-olds. So,
right.
Yes.
Reasonable.
My son.
Nothing interesting going on my way.
Oh, my son had a good Halloween. He came up to my work and was there for maybe about 20 minutes before one of the other department's decorations scared the bejesus out of him. He likes to think that he's a tough kid and not afraid of anything, but then when confronted with, you know, zombie-esque looking Halloween decorations, he's just like, nope, I'm done. I want to go home. Mom, take me home. So then he had actual Halloween on actual Halloween night this past Monday. He had a costume that he picked that my wife made for him, which was that of a wacky inflatable arm man. And while he liked the costume, didn't love the costume, when he saw all the other kids freaking out over his costume, all the parents freaking out over his costume, all the kids wanting to try his costume on, he started to come around on how good his costume was.
Yeah. Wow. That's some costume envy. That's fantastic.
So how about you? How was, what was Owen? How was his Halloween? Did you just steal all of his candy?
It was none of those things. He really seemed to love it. It was our, you know, obviously our, not obviously, but it was our first attempt at Halloween. We went, maybe two blocks before he had, you know, more than enough candy to last him, you know, as long as he needs, plus plenty of, you know, that I could tax. He had a great time. He walked up to all the houses. He managed to say trick or treat or something pretty close. He thanked everybody. He went with one of his cousins. I believe she's somewhere in the 10 to 13 year age range. So she was excited to take him around for his first Halloween. And I just kind of trotted around to make sure everybody was safe. He had a great time. And, that was it. It was very simple. I was pleased with the outcome. But one thing that I had noticed in my travels, since we're still way off topic, is when I was a child, I went trick-or-treating. I assume you guys did the same. Everywhere I went, there was some sort of trick-or-treating alternative. A trunk-or-treat, or a go to the mall to trick-or-treat, or do something. I never needed an alternative for trick-or-treating, but now I see almost nothing but alternatives. What has happened?
I don't think it's alternatives. It's just another place to go and do it and still go on Halloween. Like, the trunk-or-treat ones are usually prior to Halloween, from what I've seen.
Well, I could kind of expand a little bit on this, and that's partially because people either live in neighborhoods that are somewhat rural, and neighbors are far and few between, so there'll be like the communal spot where they know they can go and definitely get their kid a bunch of candy, the trunk or treats and things of that nature. Also, lately, more and more places, the neighborhoods are just not participating in Halloween. Because we go and trick-or-treat in my old neighborhood where I grew up, which is where my brother currently lives, just because that's where all my cousins go, and they all like to see Asa. Asa likes to see them. You know, my folks would show up, my dad, and, you know, so forth. And when I compared the number of houses that had their lights on this year to last year, it's diminished by half. Now, that could be because it was a Monday night, or that could just be... What was that?
I blame the clowns.
Well, there is a local boy in the neighborhood, and I say boy, he's probably like in his late 20s, who every year has an elaborate costume and usually roams around terrifying the children. Last year, it was a very authentic zombie costume that he would, like, occasionally have, like, the arm fall off and drag behind him. This year was, like, a scarecrow from the Nolan Batman movies that also had a chainsaw. And I caught him out of the corner of my eye on two occasions, and I had to, like, shoo him away because if my son saw him, he probably would have filled his pants with something that looked like a melted Hershey bar.
We have a house in our neighborhood who typically goes all out in the decorations, like stuff that moves and yells and screams and all this other jazz, and made my way around the loop here, and we got to their house, and I was all excited to see what they had out, and all they had out, and I think it was done on purpose, and if so, mwah, magnifique to these people. The only thing they had on the lawn were three well-lit Trump signs. And I was like, please tell me that that was done purposefully. Like, you were, this was the scariest thing you can think of this Halloween. It was quite fantastic.
That's a little bit more profane arguments commentary that we can get into there, but I think we'll avoid that for this.
We'll continue on. Let's grind out this part of the show, and we'll tell people a little bit about
Marvel. Yeah, that's what we all came for.
Oh, is that what this show's about? Okay.
Right. Sometimes. So,
I'm also here to sing in place of Craig, so I'll try to jam one in here and there.
Oh, please.
And,
fantastic.
Craig sang something last week, and I'm pretty sure it was a reference to Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it kind of just went by really quick, and I didn't see anybody else mention it. So I wanted to say if Craig referenced Rocky Horror Picture Show last week, then good for him.
Okay. It's very plausible. I have to re-listen to the show. I'll let you know. All right. This week, this is the week of November 2nd through November 9th. Deadpool dailies. Today, Green Ragnarok. Tomorrow, Yellow Kamala Khan. Friday, Black Quicksilver. Saturday, Purple Scarlet Witch. Sunday, Blue Vision. Monday, Blue Black Panther. Tuesday, Red Magneto. And Wednesday will be Yellow Storm. For the 5-day 4-star crash of the Titans, tomorrow is Professor X. Everybody will probably win because can go invisible.
You missed talking about the Peggy one, which was kind of in between last week's show and this week's show.
Oh, I thought we did. I totally failed because I don't have any Peggy. Craig also totally failed, and Ray managed to use his 5 red to punch his way to victory.
Brian?
I won, but I did... I had to do it on the second attempt. The first attempt, they would not give me any colors I needed. They just kept giving... Who was the... It was Wasp, right?
Wasp, yes.
And it was just like, she just kept getting everything she needed, and she put out that persistent power that, like, if you match it away, it does damage and then comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I could not get enough blue or red to hit her at all. And she just finally whittled me down. And then that second round, though, no boost, no nothing, because I have a champion, Peggy. I just went in there and wrecked her in that second game.
So,
well, that was some
my Peggy is not champed, and that's something that may come up later when we discuss Dying on the Vine dilemmas. It's only level 192. She's 5.52. I always use boosts in Crash of the Titans. It's just kind of force of habit sort of thing. I boosted up some red-yellow, gave myself a little extra red-yellow, and I squashed Wasp like a bug.
I just kept yelling, damn it, Janet, nice. Which was my other reference to Rocky Horror.
There you go. The new Rocky Horror that was on Fox.
Ooh.
That's the only one I know of.
Uh-huh.
I assume that's what you're referencing.
But yeah, so Professor really X anything. This week is taking on Elektra. And this is typically one of the easier battles as long as you have purple. My melon head is level 283, so I think I can do this one blindfolded.
I absolutely agree. Mine's not even close, but I do have purple, and I did get a second yellow cover so that I'll be able to boost the strike tiles that she gives me while making matches, so it might be a little less tedious than last time.
I have a 173, 553 Melonhead. He is just right at Winfinite, and I haven't leveled him up. And that will come up in my Dying on the Vine also. I have won every single one with him. Every single crash.
I have as well. Next, I assume Ray and Craig will also win. I secretly hope Craig will lose, but he won't. However, next Tuesday, it looks like 4-star Cyclops will be the hero. I'm definitely not going to win that one. I believe I have him at 2-2-2. I don't
think
that's
enough to do it. Is that the double poop house?
It's kind of a double poop house. It's definitely better than the poop house.
I went back and listened to last time I was on, and I had Cyclops at, I think, 2-2-1 at the time. And we were, because at that time, Crash, it was his Crash at that time, episode 31. and he's champ now, and I'm going to wreck whoever I'm fighting.
I'm in a similar situation as well. My Cyclops is also champed at level 274. He's taking on Hulkbuster, and luckily that's one of those ones where the colors all line up just fine. He needs red, I need red. He needs blue, I need blue. It's just going to be a race to see who gets it first. Right. And like I said, he's champ for me, and if I'm looking at my handy-dandy spreadsheet here, last time that he was available in the crash, mine was level 150 at 542, and again, now he's champion. So that's the four-star transition for you.
Okay. Do I try? Can I do it with 222 and put ISO into him and use some boosts? Or is it... It's too far from
you
possible.
Might have a lucky board, and if you use the right boosts, you might do it, but that sounds really low end. I'd have to go and check the forums to see what people have reported on, because typically every time there's a crash, there's people report what they made it on, and they keep track of who did it with the lowest coverage.
How are you doing in Enemy of the State? Because there's the opportunity, depending on what clearance level that you chose, to get one, possibly two Cyclops covers.
Oh, no. But thank you.
No, again, he's not, like, super, super high on the progression level, but he's also one of the prizes in the tokens, I think.
Okay, that's possible. I mean, I can, there's a chance I'll get him out of the vault, but I will not reach him in the progression at this point. I have slacked on too many of the notes.
The last two days of Enemy is where, like, most of the points are. So you may be able to.
Sure, I mean, it's possible. However, I feel, again, maybe I'm just overly nervous and people have reassured me. This is my first attempt at editing this show. So I expect to have, if I hope to get this up in a timely fashion, I'll spend a lot of time trying to edit this episode. That I would spend, you know, otherwise playing games or doing leisure type
things. Give me your login. I'll play for you on a separate device. That's legal, right?
Speaking of that, story event going on right now, Enemy of the State. You can get some Quicksilvers at 20 and 40. You can get a Yellow Cyclops at 70. And at 138, you can get that CP. Placement is 1 through 10 is Nova, and 11 through 300 is Spider-Man. There are no other story events right now in anticipation, I believe, of the upcoming Doctor Strange story event, which we will cover in Topic 2. Right now, PvP, it's still the Season of Power. Vicious Cycle wraps up today. 800 got you a Black Blade, 900 got you a Green Ghost Rider, 1200 for the CP. Placement got 1 through 5 gets Red Hulk, and 6 through 50 gets Squirrel Girl, which leads us into Cover Squirrel. 800 gets you a Green Squirrel Girl, 900 gets you a Red Hulk, 1200 for the CP. 1 through 5 places get Falcon America, 6 through 50 get Graysuit Black Widow.
How are you doing on these PvPs?
I am probably doing poorly. I don't think I played Vicious Cycle at all. I'm sure I haven't played Cover Squirrel at all. Actually, I'm lying. I played Vicious Cycle. I got some elite tokens because I played. I got like 123 points and then just kind of gave up. Simulator. I'm giving it I'm up to like 1,000 though. So there's that.
Right.
I might push onwards up to get those Scarlet Witch covers.
I would certainly say so, because I know at least at some point this season, before it's over, there's going to be Scarlet Witch in the PvP. I think the rest of the PvP schedule after Cover Squirrel is Hollow Point Kiss, which is Black Widow, Smash Hit, which is Hulk.
Sure.
Red Shift, which is Scarlet Witch. And then there's going to be a Doctor Strange PvP to end the season.
Oh, good.
So plan accordingly. I'm saying that
will?
To the royal everyone who's listening. Not just you, Ian, but again, I did...
There are other
people
out there?
I learned today from listening to Elvira on the Nerdist podcast that when she would do her thing, she would always address not people, but a person when she was doing her hosting. She wouldn't say, hello, everyone, or she wouldn't say, hello, people watching. She would always say, hello, you, hello, darling, hello, singular, to make it feel personal.
Ah.
So when I say that, I'm saying it to you, Ian, but I'm also saying it to the mass listening audience, the worldwide reach that Puzzle Warriors 3 has.
Fantastic. Well, how about I take a quick moment to tell everybody about this upcoming Doctor Strange event. Let's see. Let me try to give you a summarized version because I'm not going to read this whole article. Let's see. We are helping Doctor Strange find his missing artifacts. You can help refind them in any order you choose. And once you refine the artifacts, you can stop. Joe, what's his low-grade nemesis's name?
What is that? Like, I have no idea how to pronounce Calicus? That. And it's so weird that, like, this Calicious? Is the guy that they chose, Cassilicious, when Baron Mordrow,
yes.
Nightmare, Shuma Gorath, like, so many other Doctor Strange villains are right there. It's like, no, what's, right. like, Doctor Strange, listen, I like Doctor Strange a lot. He's a B-level character at best. His villains are, like, F-level, and then we're going to scrape the bottom of the barrel for his villains? I'm like, come on, Calicius? Like, unless they're saving Shuma Gorath for, like, some sort of big boss event again, you know, I'd be okay with that. Nightmare. And again, it's so funny, too, because this whole thing, it's like, help Doctor Strange find his missing artifacts. Which is the plot for the first trade of the Neil Gaiman Sandman book. Where he's trapped and he has to go and find his lost artifacts. So while I'll be playing this Doctor Strange PvE, I'll be thinking about that Neil Gaiman story in my head.
Right. I'm with you. I was a little disappointed in the villain choice. I assume that, you know, this movie is going to be mostly backstory, and I just started to learn magic, so we have to pit him against someone manageable, like one of Mordo's flunkies. You know, we don't want to go straight Dormammu on the right out the gate.
I say, why not? Let's go crazy. Come on.
I think you are more ambitious and you are more plugged in to the comic book world than most people. So I support that, but, do understand what might be being attempted here. This says it's going to run like any other 3-day story event. Shield clearance levels are going to be involved. There are going to be a main chapter and then some sub-chapters, depending on how you open up the three doors, and then you get to fight...
Calicius, or whatever his name is.
I've already forgotten. Yes. Calicius at the end, yep. So this looks, I would say, excellent. I love a new story event. They're usually pretty well written. I'm always entertained to play something, you know, new that I haven't done yet. I don't see anything that, you know, causes me to play too hard because it's, you know, it's not Alliance related.
So we'll see Calicius.
Right, the Alliance isn't relying on it, but
right,
Alliance rewards.
Right. So right, for me, whenever a new story event is introduced, it always reads confusing. Like, this reads like the, scene from 30 Rock where Kenneth is attempting to explain that the party game murderer. Like, it's like, okay, so then you have to open one of the three doors. Then depending on what door, then you put the key in your pocket. Then everyone closes their eyes. And I'm like, what's going on? And then once I played, I'm like, all right, this makes sense. A lot of times it's tough to decipher what they're doing. All I know is that there's going to be a Sanctum Sanctorum cover store, which was the reason, wink wink, I've been saving up all my CP.
Okay.
Because it was one of those things where I was...
Oh, there's going to be a special vault?
His own special. Well, there's going to be like two... Okay,
what?
So there's two separate vaults for him. Once you obtain one of his artifacts, then you're going to gain access to a 10-item limited vault. Kind of like the Halloween one that we just had recently.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, here it is.
And then you can get, you know, hero points, a 4-star, a 3-star Dr. Strange, and then a token for the Sanctum Sanctorum cover store, which is a legendary store, similar like to what they'll do during the Civil War events, where you would get those legendary tokens to, you know, have better chance to get a 5-star Doctor Strange, or you can dump 25 CP in there to buy those tokens. Which is what I will be doing Thursday when this goes live.
Sure. 25 command points per pull.
Well, I'm currently sitting on 578, so we'll...
Yeah,
I'm going to
go
nuts.
Right, reasonable. And it's, what are we looking at? 350 hero points to pull a limited artifact vault. Okay. See, all I had to do was read one more paragraph, and I would have been not so in the weeds.
That's why we're here.
Oh, this laziness has been my lifelong bane. Well, that's super exciting. So I'm twice as excited for this event as I was before. Well, now that we're talking about this event, why don't they have released the information for what these two Doctor Stranges are going to look like? So I will hurriedly break it down for you guys. 3-star Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange. He is a blue, purple, and yellow character. Let's see, his blue power is the Crimson Bands of Sidorak. It costs 9 blue AP, and he converts a chosen basic tile into a 2-turn countdown tile, then stuns the target for 2 turns. The tile destroys 2 enemy AP of its color and deals 45 damage. Let's see what it does at the highest level. It converts the chosen tile into a 3-turn countdown tile, then stuns the target for 3 turns. Then the countdown tile destroys 3 enemy AP and deals 1,772 damage. Fantastic. Let's see, his purple ability is the Eye of Agamotto. 11 purple AP. Let's see, it removes up to 2 random enemy attack tiles and gains 2 purple AP. Let's see, and at its max level, it will be removing up to 2 random enemy attack, protect, strike, invisibility, or trap tile, and gain 4 purple AP. Oh, that sounds nice. And, the Flames of Faltine. It is, yellow, it appears to be passive. Let's see. Whenever your enemy fires a power, deal 212 damage to the target, and gives a burst of 45 health to the player's team. So, it deals 1,719 damage and gives a burst of 361 health to the player's team when the enemy fires a power. To the player's team, does that mean, does that include Doctor Strange or just the two other people?
I would think it means him too.
I hope so too. He's part of the team. I just know that there are some abilities that don't. I'd have to go back and read what Kick Out the Jams does. Or Teenage Kicks, I forget which one, gives it to not her. So actually, 3-star, and I'm excited to have a new 3-star. I don't like the fact that that's going to make 41 3-stars. That's going to not be something I want to look at. But I'm excited. You know, the chance to build up another 3-star is very exciting. And all his powers seem
it's
nice.
It's been so long since I've had to build up a 3-star. It'll be fun. My question is going to be, the thing I'm most interested to see, is who he's going to give as rewards. Is he going to give a 4-star as a reward? Is he going to give something else as a reward? I'm very interested to see what that structure is going to look like. I'm sure someone will have that posted on the board probably within 3 minutes of this character being available. I'm not sure how they do it. Magic, since it is Doctor Strange, is the only reason I can think of not spending enough to buy a fancy sports car to have a fully powered up 3-star character in a mobile phone game. But hey, everyone do with your money what you see fit. I bought a bunch of comic books.
So they are also releasing a 5-star Doctor Strange,
what?
The
two
Sorcerer
characters
Supreme.
At once? They got to keep releasing so many characters.
Two characters at once. I got to slow it down. This is a madness. Fortunately, most of his abilities are the same. They just do more stuff. So once again, the Crimson Bands of Sidorak, 9 blue AP, And it converts a chosen basic tile into a two-turn countdown tile, stuns for two turns, destroys two enemy AP of its color, deals 446 damage. Ultimately converting a three-turn countdown tile, stun for three turns, three tile destruction, 3 points of AP of its color, and 6,384 damage. Okay, then we're going to look at the juiced-up Eye of Agamotto. Let's see. Costs 11 purple AP.
The main, outside of being juiced up, main thing with the eye is that it can't be matched and it doesn't fall. So I like that a lot.
So it's like a singularity,
creates
right?
a colorless eye tile. Similar, yes. Yep, and also I think, I can't even think of his name. Black Bolt creates a tile that I don't think can be matched or destroyed. The one that gives his
teammate a boost. It can be destroyed with a match 4. Yeah, and same with Singularity. So I'm guessing this is probably the same. But they don't fall, and they can't be matched away.
Right. And this colorless tile eats up enemy attack, protect, strike, invisibility, or trap tiles. And lastly, the biggest change, the Flames of Faltine, 14 yellow AP. It also has the same passive ability of when your opponent fires a power, it deals damage. It deals 808. It goes up to 8,445. However, for 14 AP of the yellow variety, you can deal an additional 16,000 damage. So that is a lot of AP and a lot of damage.
Just based on the numbers alone, I'm liking the way 5-star fits in. Obviously not game-breaking like a Old Man Logan or a Mean Gene, but I could definitely see with the right cover mix, he could be as destructive as like a Green Goblin and or Black Suit Spidey. And I only say that because the cover schemes that I have on most of the other ones are not correct, and or I don't have much ISO invested into them, but I think we can all agree, outside of Black Widow, the 5-star cap is probably the worst 5-star.
I think 5-star is purple. I mean, granted, it's the same cost as the 3-star one, but I think it's overcosted. It's for the fact that it removes a random tile and not you get to choose the tile. I feel like that, especially with a board that can be littered with any amount of stuff, the fact that you can't choose the tile for 11 purple is, I feel, overcosted. But everything else I like about them. So I would probably run them 5-3-5.
Sure. And also because the Eye of Agamotto relies on your enemies doing something specific. The other two you can use whenever it's convenient for you.
But, I mean, if you're playing 5-star level, you're usually playing against somebody who's throwing out tiles like candy. Either Mean Gene or Old Man Logan. You know, they all have something that they're...
Sure, it's definitely not rare. But, I mean, it's the same reason that 5-3-5 seems to be the way to run Teen Gene. Because you have to rely on the enemy making a 5-star match for her middle ability.
Well, that's a lot less likely, especially because usually you're playing AI, and the AI is not making match 5s.
Yeah, well, it's super difficult then. Absolutely. Absolutely. Other goings-on, there are some 112 hot fixes. Hot dog stand now properly heals Hulk and creates charge tiles. Boom.
Now, they
fixes.
Haven't addressed whether or not the... Because I know the thing wasn't working for a while. He wasn't putting down his defend tiles. And I think there was another thing that I saw on the boards and on the old Reddit machine that apparently when you would go to cash in, drop all the whales, it would cash in those points to drop those whales and then drop a whale.
A singular whale, yeah.
So,
and I believe there was a problem with Quake.
And let's not get into the ISO mist from the Devil Dinosaur PvP and the week that we went without Facebook rewards. But we'll get to those once we fix the hot dog stand. Oh, then it's we fixed. Can work on those other problems.
We're good. Right, we are cruising right along with that. Oh, Brian, didn't the internet say something's wrong with, let's say, Deadpool?
Yes.
Whales.
That's what Joe just said.
Did you black out? He said so many things. Nope, I was trying to get to the next topic because I wasn't prepared for it.
That's listener comments.
He said you cash in your Deadpool points, and instead of dropping all the whales, we would drop a singular whale.
Lightness,
and that
that's
happened
horrible.
To a few people in our alliance.
They should, yeah, boo earns. They should fix that immediately. No, I was just going to talk about, they made some variant covers.
Oh, yes, the Steam variant covers for...
Yes, science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
The, what is it, the five-star Iron Man got changed, Gwenpool got changed, Miles Morales got changed, Double Dinosaur got changed, and Totally Awesome Hulk got changed.
I
don't have Devil Dinosaur anymore, but the other ones I like very much, even though that shirt that Riri Williams is wearing on the Iron Man cover is a trigger warning for me.
And no.
And I'm very upset by it.
Have shirt problems.
That's right.
I don't like Gwenpool's new cover.
I didn't even look at it. Let me look.
I don't have Dino anymore either, but I don't like Gwenpool's new cover. I like that.
She's got, what is she working on? Some sort of dry erase board, and she's got a sword to someone's throat.
Yeah, and she's knocking out Hive people? Are those Hive folks?
Those are Hydra folks. Nah, that one's okay. I like it. It's funny. I like the other one only because it was a little bit more colorful.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun.
Yeah, but this
one... I feel the other one.
This one's fine.
I want fine.
I like the new...
I want funny.
I like the new show cover.
I was gonna...
Hey, whatever. Anything's. I was getting so sick of his other cover, so this is perfectly fine with me.
Yeah, yeah. I like the new Devil Dino cover.
I don't have it. Can't see it.
Moon Girl has attached a giant telescope to Devil Dinosaur's forehead and is looking through it, and you can see Galactus's reflection in the mirror
that's
of the
cool.
telescope.
Not worth keeping Devil
solid.
Dinosaur around, but yeah.
No, I bet. And I again, when I do occasionally glance at our Facebook feed and things like that, I had noticed a bubbling up of, I don't want to say hatred for Devil Dinosaur, but definitely, from players that play at what I believe you and Joe's level are. This includes Stink Palm and a few others. They're like, yeah, should I even bother with Devil Dino? He's really just a novelty character, and you're probably right, but yeah, I don't know.
The mentality where I want to get all the characters, and I had all the characters, right? As of, before Doctor Strange comes out, the only one that I'm missing is 5-star Black Widow. I'm not too broken up about it either. And Stink Palm made a very compelling argument that, sell them now while you can. He was also trying to get people to sell their Totally Awesome Hulks. But seeing that Totally Awesome Hulk is a character that will come up more often than Devil Dinosaur, who will not come up again for at least another year, they were offering advanced buy rates on him, and I was able to use the ISO from selling him to finish championing Bobby Iceman and get me on the road to championing Ghost Rider before his PvP. So it was all worth it.
Wow, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes to all that. You also championed Iceman with
I used it to champion...
With the loot you made.
Oh, man, who did I champion? I think I actually... kind of dumb, but I used it to champion Totally Awesome Hulk. And now I'm sitting here thinking I should also sell Totally Awesome Hulk, which will... Even though I'm getting half the ISO back, I'm getting a ton of HP. And I'm likely to pick up at least one Hulk cover within the near future to at least have him for when he is required. Because even with the rework, he's just okay. He's not fantastic. And when we get to my Dying on the Vine, you'll hear why I'm thinking about selling Totally Awesome Hulk.
Unless you, we'll get to it, but unless you have a cover that's going to expire within the next, week, I would say hold on to him because he's beefed up as is Red Hulk during the next set of buffs that go into effect tomorrow. So
they're both buffed at the same time?
Yes.
Then I don't need Totally Awesome Hulk.
Well, again, it's just Red Hulk make more green, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
All right.
I hear what you're saying.
Right. There was my plea. There was my plea to keep Totally Awesome Hulk.
I wish I knew when they were going to finish offering the extra sellback amount.
If I was to guess, it would probably be at the end of this season. Because that's when they've done it before. If I remember from the original rework of X-Force Wolvie, they gave it like the length of the season to offer that buyback bonus.
That still wasn't long enough. Stupid nerf on X-Force Wolverine. I'm still holding a candle for that one.
All right. I am going to attempt to open up the mailbag, which I have tried to do prior to right this moment, and I don't really know how Ray is so capable of making a coherent segment out of the listener comments, because I was just overwhelmed and confused almost immediately. Most of them are unbelievably long. I mean, they have nice bullet points and they're easy to follow, but so I guess I can just kind of cherry pick from there. I can skip most of the comments from serial poster Leonard F. Jakarison, as he is tied for my second favorite co-host
of today.
I wish
Reddit would let me change my username, but alas.
Right. The only comment I wanted to mention of yours was, it was a two-parter. One, the most recent comment, giving me sass for underselling this week's episode. However, a humble week before that, your final comment was, an episode that Ian's hosting, I'm excited to listen to a smoldering pile.
Oh, come on, I gotta build you up to knock you down. Or knock you down to build you back up, I don't know, so, something.
Yeah. Knock me down to knock me down. So we both worked hard to sell this.
No,
this
listen,
episode.
I'm always excited for the show. I'm a little sad as a listener that this episode is not available to be listened to live like has recently been done, and I understand why it's not being done.
Sure.
But I say, since I'm on the show, I am listening to it live. So neener 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 to everyone else who's not listening right now.
Right. You are getting the full experience. Everybody else is getting cheated. If you have any complaints, please forward them to Craig and Ray, who are enjoying a California vacation right now and sending me lots of
updates. So I didn't know that Midway football arcade game was such a big deal that they're holding conventions for it still. Oh, it's not Blitz. I thought it was BlitzCon. I'm sorry. Oh,
BlitzCon! Oh no,
I had some chocolate smudged on my notes.
I don't know,
and that. So it looks like it's going to be another 100 years of donations. Everybody, thank you.
No, they are. I don't even know what was involved in that con. All my taunting comes every time Craig sees a food truck. He sends me a text with a picture of said food truck. And his wife sends me pictures of their adventures at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So there you have it. Let's see. Here's some mail. Let's see what can I mention that people talked about. Apparently last week we had made some comment about the Curious George movie containing what Craig claimed was the most beautiful woman in the world. We didn't mention who it was. In Craig's mind, that's Drew Barrymore. He is mistaken. Hiding from muggles. Also said he was mistaken, but it turns out he was only partially right because he included a counterproposal suggesting that Zooey Deschanel was the most beautiful woman in the world. He is also wrong. So just so you know, you're both mistaken. I don't think that I have a good answer for you. I checked with the internet before we started. The internet says it's Scarlett Johansson. I think the internet is also mistaken. Not to suggest that any of these people that I've mentioned yet are, in any way unattractive, but certainly don't deserve the acclaim.
I'm going to forward my agenda from prior to the show starting, and I'm going to put forth Haley Atwell.
Okay, let me Bing to see who that is.
Oh, Haley. My God. Why don't you just ask Jeeves first?
Well, how's Aja Argento holding up these days? She doing okay?
Alta Vista's still around.
Okay.
What? Aja Argento?
She can't still be a... Yeah, she's an Italian actress.
Argento's...
Shows up in
Argento's daughter.
Haley Atwell is the Peggy Carter girl.
Yes.
That's all
woman.
Right. She's
Truth.
All right. She's all right. She's doing okay. She's still flying. She's fine. Hey, I'm going to peer into the mailbag here myself a little bit there, Ian. And I wish there was more of an uprising of people that want me to break into your house and open up all your standard tokens.
There's at least one, which I also noticed. Just call ahead.
All right.
You don't have to break in. the idea of you coming to visit me would be so shocking and delightful. I would definitely let you open up all of my standard tokens.
And another thing that I have to ask Reddit listeners of the show, I notice many of you have after your handle, good buddy, what your shield rank is and how many days you've been playing. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah,
so if you could tell me how to do that, that'd be very helpful.
I am a little bit interested in how to learn that, but looking at these comments, Ray knows how to do that, and I bet he could tell me pretty directly, but then it turns out that, I've already lost interest. I never log into Reddit. I mostly just browse it. A lot of other comments say that Westworld is a good show.
That's correct.
Yeah, I hear great things about it.
The heated debate over who the worst of the original X-Men were. Yes.
I saw that, especially the NSYNC parallel breakdown, which I definitely had some low-grade issue with. Let me see if I can find that. Now, Drinch McScrooge starts off strong and says that Iceman is the J.C. Shazay.
I mean, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Thank you. That sounds fine, of the original X-Men. And then breaks them down as... JT is Marvel Girl, Lance Bass is Beast, Chris Kirkpatrick is Angel, and Joey Fatone is Cyclops. To which I say nay. I would probably could make a case for any number of configurations, but I'm down with the Iceman as JC, but I think that Lance is clearly Angel, Chris is Marvel Girl, JT is Cyclops, and Joey Fatone, obviously.
Now, with this
the beast.
Analogy, I guess, in the end of things, what it really says is that Professor X is Lou Pearlman. Make of that what you will. If you know Lou Pearlman's sordid history, read some of those early issues of the X-Men from the 60s, some of the impure thoughts Professor X is having about Jean Grey, and, you know, whoever he lines up as from there. But yes, Professor X is Lou Pearlman.
Okay. It was a reference that took me a while to get there, but I got there.
I didn't. That's all right.
That's okay.
Lou Pearlman is a dirty, filthy man.
let's see. Did you see me? Puzzle Warriors Alliance member Kaysen, celebrating his 100th day in... The 1,000th day in Marvel Puzzle Quest. So kudos to you. That seems like a lot of days. Are you guys close to that?
I'm like 940-something.
I'm just at around 9 because I took like a 3-month hiatus somewhere.
Shameful.
Yes, it was very shameful. I rue the day.
But no, I'm 944 as of this speaking, and I always like to peek ahead just a little bit, and the only thing that makes me sad... is the next several 4-star rewards that I'm getting are people that I already have at 5 and not champion. So, you know, yeah.
Oh.
I'm at 892. Right. I have a Carnage coming up in 3 days. Yeah.
Cool. Let's see what else I got. Ava Vavoom, another Alliance member, says that she's defending Craig as to whether or not... I agree. I agree with you. But she says... To defend Craig a little on whether or not the hood decreases the cost of powers. When he adds AP to your number, that effectively means the same thing. It definitely doesn't, but I like where you're going with this. I don't like that you're defending Craig, but someone needs to, so I will support it just this one time. But, Joe, you can feel free to tell her or him why he or she is wrong.
In that logic, of course, that it's, you know, you match one less tile because you're getting the little bit of extra AP, but it does not actually change the physical number on the board like a character like Star-Lord does or someone like that.
Truth.
You're stealing it from them and you're taking it.
Right, but it's still costing the same amount. Like if I had Hood and Star-Lord...
Right, I'm doing less work to get to that number.
You're denying them.
Right.
Now, granted, it has to be based off of what's actually on the board.
Denying your opponent is not the same as decreasing the actual cost of a power for you.
But it is effectively the same thing by gaining... Mm. Because you're not just denying them, you're gaining it, aren't you?
When I use the Hood's power with... let's say Doctor Strange 5-star, the Eye of Agamotto will always be 11. It will always say that it costs me 11. But if I use someone like Star-Lord, that number will change from 11 to something else.
I understand what you're saying, but
that's
it's semantics.
That's why it's not the same.
You're gaining AP and stealing it from the other person, so they are having a hard time casting their stuff while you are gaining AP towards casting yours. So it is close to the same thing. Maybe not exactly.
Close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades there.
I don't know. The comment does say effectively the same thing.
Effectively means.
So, yes.
It has the similar effect.
Well, then. Brian won, Joe nothing. That's what you get for being our most returned guest. You get beat by
Shameful.
Brian.
Has to happen once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. There was some kudos for Ray. Everybody break it down. Jordan from Jersey. He thought he was way into, he was pro all of the 112 changes, and honestly, our complaints, about these changes baffled him. So I will, target just the one that bothers me the most. And try to explain it in a way that why I don't like the change. I preferred when opening a token as the pictures cycle.
This.
Yes, I just want to let you know. In addition to the things we discussed, here is something else that I missed. When I would see the picture I landed on before that token opened, I would get the either, you know, I would either be thrilled because it didn't matter what type of, you know, ISO it was going to be, or let's say I see that, the ever popular Thor logo there. And I'm like, oh, great. Another, my token and I got a 2-star Thor. And then it opens up and boom, it's a 4-star Thor. Best feeling in the world. So the idea that I was going to get something awful based on the picture that I saw. And then it was way better than I expected, thinking that I'm going to get 500 ISO. And it turns out to be the 10,000 ISO reward. It really added a rush. And I don't understand why they've left the screen there to just the shield logo and a little flashing light. If you're not going to let me see the scrolling pictures, when I click on the token, just show me what I got. There's absolutely no reason for this intermediary.
Cause they're all about slowing
screen.
Down the game.
It just,
you can't play too fast.
I'm with you to a point, only in that more times than not for me, I would do the same thing. It would show me, let's say, the purple icon for the legendary token.
Right. It was
and
the
I
reverse.
Would not get the legendary token. Or it would it show like, me the ISO
like
and
a,
it would
what?
Show me something else. It's completely
it was like an
arbitrary.
It was like an 85-15 breakdown of like 15% of the time you would get that good feeling like Ian was having.
Mm-hmm.
And 85% of the time, you would get the, oh, I saw the purple legendary cover, and here's a moonstone.
Yep.
Oh, see, that never
right,
happened to
see,
me. That would
why,
be heartbreaking.
Because I would do what you did, because there were the people that were talking like, oh, there's a definite pattern, and if you let it go a certain amount of times, you could see the pattern, and then when you hit it, you know, once you know what the pattern is, hit it three before that it's going to hit. And then I started to try to do that, and it would never work. So at that point, it would just be like, I would hit the button to open the token, and then I would just not even look and just keep hitting the thing until it opened. So I understand where you're coming from. I have a twinge of OCD myself that I don't like change, and I have a routine, because I think what you would always do it on the 12th. Right.
Right. The 13th, the 23rd, right,
so there
and
you
the
go.
42nd.
So you could still do that in your mind. Just look away from the screen.
Yeah, I don't need that, though. Now that the picture's gone, I'm just kind of... A little bit of the rush is gone. But had I experienced what you had experienced, I would say, yeah, get rid of that picture. It just drives me crazy. I see that. So anyway, that's why it bothered me. All the other fixes seemed great. If I missed your... If I missed any comments this week, and I missed lots of them, I'm feeling overwhelmed and I was a little bit underprepared, and I apologize. Please continue to comment, and Ray will hold you in high esteem and talk all about you when we get to this segment next time. Let's see. After this, we have, oh my goodness, everybody's favorite segment.
Feature character of the week, week.
Excellent. This week, the featured character of the featured character of the week is brought to you by my favorite sponsor, Seance Stormy Toy. Are you tired of your Ouija board not holding up when you're trying to summon the dead on a rainy night? Or do you just not think that Hasbro has a direct link to the underworld? Try a Seance Stormy Toy. Your all-weather link to dead
the
people.
Matchbox of Ouija boards.
Exactly.
So, Ian, I have a question. As an avid listener of the show, last week's clue made lickety no sense to me to get to this point.
Well, all right. Let me break it down for you. For whatever reason, Craig has a certain amount of liberty when making the clues for the featured character of the week because he takes the time to... write the outline for the show. And when he wrote this, we looked at the clue, and Ray and I said, wow, that's a pretty easy clue. You know, that's not even a clue. You're just putting the character right out on Front Street. And he said, oh, no, it's not Howard. And we said, you're the worst person that we know. What could it be? And, he broke it down for us. So here's where everything went sideways. So apparently, the angry duck having a girlfriend. The angry duck is supposed to somehow take you to Donald Duck. The girlfriend is supposed to take you to Daisy Duck. Daisy is supposed to take you to Quake. And then Brian is supposed to tell us about what to do with this Daisy Johnson Quake character.
Hi, everybody.
And that's why what happened with the clue happened. So I apologize to you.
The listener.
The royal you.
Well, it was the royal. Yes.
Making it personal. So,
exactly.
We're talking about one Quake, also known as Daisy Johnson, and she is a green, yellow, blue character, and her first power, Green Earthquake. For 11 AP, she deals 361 damage to the enemy team and also shuffles the game board. At max level, she deals 4,401 damage to the entire enemy team and shuffles the game board. Her yellow power, Coordinated Tactics, is a passive power for 0 AP. She will reduce the damage from enemy powers that affect the whole team by 415 points to a minimum of 1 point. So she basically nerfs AoE damage by a total of 415 for one cover and for a maximum amount of 3,394 at 5 covers. And finally, we have her Resonance Frequency power at 7 blue AP. You can select up to select a tile and destroy up to 3 random tiles of that same color. It does not generate AP. And at 5 covers, you get to select a tile and destroy up to 8 random tiles of that color.
Does it have to be a basic tile? And it will it destroy non-basic tiles?
It does not have to be a basic tile. It destroys non-basic tiles, and it also destroys team-up tiles.
Wow! That power is way better than I ever knew.
Not to step on Brian, but I have her champed, level 272. I play her at 535 only because I tend to be a more offensive player. I'll throw her in there on, like, early jobber nodes against your, you know, Magia and Ninja people, and I'll just use her resonance frequency to get rid of all their black countdown tiles, or all their yellow countdown tiles, or whatever's there, you know? Because it's getting rid of eight. Another fun combo yeah. with her is play her with X-Force Deadpool. He throws out his countdowns to nothing, which do damage, and then you resonance frequency all them away. And then just blast your opponent to smithereens.
Right.
I typically also play her 5-3-5 for the same reason. Unless I'm playing in PvE against Caltrops and whatever else we can find. or if I am playing in PvP and she's boosted and you're going up against somebody who has AoE. Oh. But
Nothing feels better. Nothing feels better than seeing that animation for Hammer and Anvil, and you got Quake on your team, and it does yep. 1 point of damage. You're like, ah, that feels so nice. Yeah. You just wasted all that green AP for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, feels real good. She is a monster when boosted. She was one of my four stars I was most excited about championing for a while. And then I championed her, and by that time, Peggy had been released. And I was like, man, I really wish I had a champion Peggy instead. do not get me wrong. Everything Joe said about her is great. When you play her with the five blue covers, just destroying the highest color for a team. Or trying to get rid of, like, when you have 14 blue, and you do resonance frequency twice in a row and just completely obliterate one or two particular colors from a board, you just start getting cascades. It's really useful. I mean, I have a 12 cover Old Man Logan. I play her with him and she's casting stuff. He's laying down tiles and then she plays Earthquake and it's game over. She's just really good. But then, like I said, and then I got Peggy champion, and she kind of went to the sideline a little because Peggy is just, like, ridiculous.
Not the featured character week. Ian, what's your Quake looking like?
That is a fair question. I will stall you because I'm going to need to have this up for the next couple segments. I feel like she's not, you know, in anywhere usable. She might either be in the double poo house or the triple poo house. I'm not sure which.
If I was to guess, she's probably in the double poo house, only because I would guess that from one or two of the Civil War events, you probably picked up a couple of her covers.
Yeah. I definitely did. That definitely, moved her up in the rankings. But I feel like I earned her when she was first released as a character. I placed high enough in the PvE that I got... I think all three of her covers. So, and then again, I was with you guys for the first Civil War. So, that was three more there. And I feel like I've collected a couple since then. That's why I was thinking 3-3-3 is possible. Because I know that, the Long Box Heroes dominated, the first.
We did pretty good. We're back on track for PvP this season as well. I'm very happy about that.
Have you lived your dream yet? Did you get the legendary
token? No.
For being top 100
no,
PvP?
No, not yet. We've been so close on so many occasions. 101, 104, we're getting there. It's a work in progress.
Ugh. 104
101
is
bittersweet.
Yeah, 101 was really bad.
Yeah.
I should have had the spreadsheet open the whole time. That's on me.
That's okay. I'm there. I'm scrolling through right now. She's at 322.
That's usable. That's really usable.
Yeah, whenever it's her turn at Crash of the Titans, I'm optimistic, and I can, you know, like you said, I could pepper her into certain lineups.
She'll be great against those dudes pulling out Caltrops. She'll help you a lot in PvE.
During Enemy of the State. Enemy of the State always reminds me
how much I hate Caltrops.
She
actually will be up in Crash of the Titans at the end of the month. She's
great.
The last one for November. But just looking at Long Box Heroes Alliance, going back a couple seasons here. Season 28, we were 108th place. Season 29, we were 106. Season 30, we were 103. Season 31, we were 101st. Season 32, we were also we were 103. And then for the I stand corrected. I guess for the third anniversary one, we were 93rd overall, but they weren't giving out legendary tokens for that one.
Correct.
Which is equally as bittersweet.
Right. All right. This is... anyway, that's our featured character of the week. Brought to you by Seance Stormy Toys. This is something I'm just looking at now. I didn't know if we had discussed this at all. I know Brian and I discussed this before the show. The prizes for the Strange event are out. And again, this is only at level 8. But yeah, you can get a Black Nova cover from Progression. And placement 1 through 5 gets you X23. 6
Well, it's 1 through 10 gets you X23.
6 through...
One through on level 8, what? 1 through 10 gets you X23.
Did I? Oh, it does. You're right. I'm sorry. I didn't scroll down. It is 1 through 10 gets you X23, and then 11 through 300 will get you some amount of Doctor Strange,
which is pretty amazing.
Star covers.
Especially
that is generous.
Considering when you go back a level, and only the top 11 to 50 get Doctor Strange covers.
Yeah.
And then you go back another level and only 6 and then only 2 through 20 get the Strange covers, and only number 1 is X23. It gets pretty brutal.
It does. I'm excited. I can't believe I made the cutoff. I'm really I really don't deserve any Doctor Strange covers, but I'm stoked that I will have a fair opportunity to get there.
So I would certainly say if you can do clearance level 8, absolutely do it to take the chance. You have a much better chance on getting at least one Doctor Strange cover than you do in any of the other clearance levels.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm doing it. I'm stoked.
You're doing it well.
All right. Dying on the Vine. You guys both have interesting Vine stories.
Brian, go for it.
Okay.
I'll go first. Wait, don't go for it, Brian. I gotta make sure my Vine is useless and not worth talking about before I tell you anything. And it wasn't totally useless. I just found a Iron Fist cover sitting there that gave me some command points, which was nice. But otherwise, I have nothing to speak of. Brian, do it.
Okay, I have 27 covers in my Vine, and a good amount of them are 2 stars that I'm still trying to recycle.
Gotcha.
On their fourth time around the sun. But I do have a decent amount of 4 stars, 3 Melonhead covers that all expire in the next 3 days, 3 Max Pun covers that all expire within the next 8 days, starting on the 3rd day to the 8th day, 4 Ghost Rider covers that are all within the 8 to 14 day range, and then 1 stupid Nick Fury cover. So, I am not sold on championing Melonhead, although everyone tells me I should. My consideration is for Big Pun and selling
is he
totally
good?
Awesome Hulk to purchase myself a Max Punisher. And I'd want to put it out to the listenership to see if I should sell Totally Awesome Hulk for a load of HP, half the ISO back, and dump that into getting Punisher championed.
What?
Because I have 13 covers on him right now. These are just gravy champion covers here.
What level is your max pun at?
Oh, let's say minimum pun.
So he's at 70.
He's at 90.
90. So to champion him and the 1250 to champ or the 12500 to champion him, you are probably looking in the neighborhood of 400,000 ISO.
I was thinking 350, but probably 4.
Okay. What do you have on ISO right now?
Let's say 40,000.
Okay. If you really want to champion Big Pun, then I say do it. I know Nick Fury, you're saying no, Ghost Rider saying no, and I can kind of see your point there. I love Professor X. I use him.
I will never get enough ISO right now to champion X within the next 3 days.
Only because you have a little bit more time to do so, I would lean toward Max Pawn.
Yeah. So you're suggesting that I do sell Hulk to do that?
Sadly, yes.
All right. I'd like to hear from the rest of the listeners in the comments. So I have a couple days to find that
right.
out.
Right.
All right. That's my Vine.
My Vine is a little bit easier Great. Going than that because I haven't been opening legendary tokens. I haven't been cashing in command points. So I'm not faced with similar situations like Brian. But from my daily resupply, I did get a purple Miles Morales, who at the time I got him was 5/5/1. However, from an enemy of the state token, I got a red Miles Morales, which puts him at 5/5/2. Should I dump 125 command points into that to give him a red cover so they don't lose out on that? I'm probably thinking I shouldn't, only because all of my plans change if and when I get a blue Peggy, another cover for 4-star Thor, or any cover for Old Man Logan.
My suggestion is don't.
Don't.
Don't get the cover for Miles.
Okay.
You're going to get more along the way.
Okay.
Say, especially with the Doctor Strange event coming up.
Right.
That's 5 covers.
Yeah.
Instead of buying one that you don't really need.
Right.
Because Miles is not a great dude. He's just average.
I'm selling the purple cover as we speak.
No way, I changed my mind.
Okay. Oh, solved.
Blue, I'd be great.
All right. So that's my Vine. It's clear now.
That was it?
That was it. Like I said, because I haven't been opening stuff, and I'm currently in the process of mid-re-championing, how many 4-stars? Or 2-stars, rather. Good gravy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you count Bagman, which I don't. So I'm in the midst of re-championing 5 2-stars. They're varying levels from 133 to 114, so a majority of the 2-star covers that I'm getting are just going into championing them.
Cool. That's an efficient Vine. I feel like, unless it's something totally off the wall, at the same time we got a glimpse of your best rewards of the week.
Well, you know, I got the purple Miles, which was helpful. I did really good in the Enemy of the State vault, as I mentioned. I got the purple Miles out of there. I got the Cyclops, which added to his champion level. I got the Reed that added to his champion level. And then from a random heroic, I got an Ant-Man, which added to his champion level, putting him at 280, which gave me another legendary token to add to the pile. So it's been a good week.
My best reward of the week, I don't think I opened any 5-stars, and I got a lot of champion levels from... Yeah, I wish I saved my CP, because I probably dumped about 200 into just opening tokens to try to get another 5-star. And I wish I thought that they were going to be putting this new vault in for Strange. I would have kept some. But I ended up opening a Black Gwenpool from a heroic token.
Oh, nice!
So,
oh,
yeah, that was probably my oh moment of the... of the week.
I also had a very quiet week. I've opened nothing and not done too much. I got the 250 hero points twice out of taco tokens this week. So that was really and I did end up waiting as per Joe's advice, and I cashed in my 3-star cap to
Yay!
Get a
there you go.
Over. I did not, in fact, want... Well, I do kind of want, but I definitely... That was the superior choice over Falcon America.
Speaking of Flapton, why do you guys not like the name Flapton?
I don't know.
Is it derogatory towards Captain America?
No, I don't think so. I don't think, not at all. I don't think it has, it doesn't, I don't like the way it rolls off the tongue. I don't at all. I don't like that, when you, when I first saw it, I didn't see the L and I thought it was Fapton, and I was like, that's gross. absolutely. It's just not, I've always preferred, Falcon America.
Cause I call him Flapton all the time, and I heard you guys going on about it.
You do.
And I was like,
we do give that nickname a thumbs down here on the show, but you are welcome to use, whatever nicknames you would like. Yep. I'm here to help. Do you guys want to open a token? Or do you still want to not open tokens?
I'm currently at 14. Okay. I'll probably pick up a replacement one for this one from Crash of the Titans tomorrow. I would have more, but a lot of times I will play Marvel Puzzle Quest in a very sleepy state in the middle of the night, and I've accidentally opened up two legendary tokens by mistake, because I'll get like a heroic token or something, or I'll have an elite, right? And I'll go to the cover open screen, I'll be like, button, oh, that looks like a token I have, and I hit it, and I'm like, oh no, wait, that's purple in the background, what did I do? And I've done that twice. granted, both times it worked out well, because I did get covers for people that I could actually use, as opposed to, like, covers that I had to sell or something like that. But I will open up a latest Legends here, unless you guys wanted to go first. Alright,
go for it.
I hit the button, please. It's golden, it's pulsating, it's moony. It's a green Moon Knight. That makes me happy. I like a Moon Knight. And I have not put any ISO into Moon Knight, but that green cover now puts him at 242, which is not terrible.
You opened a latest or a classic?
That's a latest.
Ah. Oh, because you had tokens laying around.
Yes.
Okay. I am going to open up a classic with my 24 CP.
Okay.
So here we go. And it's yellow, it's pulsating, it is... Oh my god. What did you get, Joe?
He got a green Moon Knight.
I also got a green Moon Knight. I'm not even kidding. Let's see. Because I think I have him max covered, but green might have been the last one I needed. Let's see. He is now a 5-4-4. So yes, he is now max covered and ready to be champion.
Hey, champion him instead of the other people.
He is currently at level 74, so it'd be even harder, and I don't have another cover on the vine for him. So he'll get there.
Yeah, I would say he's a winner. All right, I will open a latest legend
token.
Come on,
5-star Craig. Steal his mojo.
Nope. I don't want his mojo. I'm still in the middle of a 4-star transition, and I got a yellow pulsating token that will give me, you guessed it, red Power Man.
Ooh, nice.
Bunch of fiddle faddle. Yeah. I'm stoked about that. That's probably my second Power Man cover. I can't be more than one. Let's see if I even, yeah, absolutely. So now I have him at a whopping 101. Excellent. So, I skipped it before, that was the opening of the legendary token brought to us by Craig's favorite sponsor, this guy. Shout out to our sponsor, this guy. So we, being the three of us and this show, are part of a podcast network known as the Soon to Be Named Podcast Network, available at soontobenamednetwork.com. Where you can catch lots of great shows, including this one, The Prodigal Sons, The Long Box Heroes, and many others. I have direct links to all of them on our website, and or you can check them all out at soontobenamednetwork.com. All right. Thanks, guys. That was exceeded all of my expectations.
Got to set that bar
low,
man.
If I can put together...
Well, hey, listen, I don't want to be a spoil sport here, but if you want to be like myself or Brian, and you want to be a guest on a future episode of Puzzle Warriors 3, you could do so by going over to their Patreon page, which is patreon.com/PuzzleWarriors3. You could be like many of the many people that have donated in the past to become guests on this very show, and I'll let you in on a secret, even if you don't donate to the Patreon, follow the Patreon, and you'll be the first one to know via email when posts go live if you're not readily accessible to your iTunes or whatever way it is that you subscribe to your podcasting ways. They all stink. You just need a text file of RSS feeds like some crazy people do.
That is all accurate. That is clearly the most efficient way you could listen to our show. Stitcher, iTunes are other options. If you don't want to go to Patreon and you want to click on our Amazon banner and buy your, Thanksgiving presents through that, that'll give us a couple shekels, a penny or three. Or if you do want to go to the Patreon, do what Joe said because it was a much better idea. And I think that's it. Let's wrap this up. So goodbye for now. And remember, kids, every strategic scientific reserve needs a good boss. Goodbye, friends.
Sayonara.
Ta-ta.